Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, let me tell you what we're going to do. Anytime you study the Word of God on a subject like in the last days, you have to have a framework. Now, everybody listen to me carefully. The phrase, and everybody get your pens and papers out, and that's why I gave you these notes. The notes are not just notes for tonight. They're going to be notes for every week during the fall. So I've given you all of it at one time. You're going to have to bring extra paper, but this is the outline. This is going to lead us up into Christmas. When you hear, listen, I wish every one of you could go overseas. Chuck, I know you go overseas quite a bit. I wish everyone could go overseas and watch the news. Because you will know, number one, that America does not have the news correctly. We don't have a market on it. And you will see the world crying out for a leader. And you will see more turmoil and chaos in Madrid, Spain, and Myanmar, and all these places than you ever imagined just by listening to the news in America, Fox included. And so the world, the Bible says, the world will come to a place at the end of the last days. It's very important you understand the terminology, at the end of the last days. And at the end of the last days, the environment that will precede the coming of the man, Son of Man. Now you have to realize there's a first coming, Christmas. There's the second coming, where he returns to earth after 7 years of tribulation. But in between the first coming and the second coming, I firmly believe there's something called a parousia, which is the word for rapture. It's a catching away. We don't call the rapture the second coming of Christ because he doesn't step his foot on the earth. We meet him in the air, according to the Bible, 1 Thessalonians. So at the end of the last days, in the last days, in the Hebrew and in the Greek means this. It means from the time that Jesus came out of the tomb until this very second we're living in right now. These are the last days. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, in the last days I will pour my spirit out on all people. Anybody that knows anything about theology and missiology knows that Pentecostalism and charismatic movements have owned the earth in the last 50 years. No doubt about it, Sister Davis. In 1954, there were 12 million people who claimed to be spirit-filled in some form or fashion. In 2017, it's about to pass 750 million people. So in the last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. So you have this understanding that there is a revival coming in the last days where there's going to be a great harvest. But then again, he turns around and he says that there's going to be a great falling away too. And if you look at the statistics right now about where America is at, nominal people who come to church if they feel like it. Nominal people are becoming nuns. They're becoming agnostic, atheists, or irreligious. But the convictional people who believe in the Word of God are becoming more committed. So what it means is that while Christianity is decreasing in the last days in America, those that are committed are becoming more committed. You know what that means? That means there's going to be come down at the coming of the Son of Man a clear distinction between a sheep and a goat. That gray areas and in the middle of the fence are going to be gone. And you'll see that. How many of you see that now? Man, I see it as a pastor. I talk to all my friends that are pastors. Everyone sees it. The ones that are wishy-washy are becoming more wishy-washy and undedicated to the house of God. And the ones that are committed are becoming more committed. How many of you want to be committed at the coming of the Son of Man? Now, you've got to realize that when you study a theological subject like this, that you've got to have a framework. Okay, so everybody write the word framework down and go to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. And I'm going to lead you through these scriptures and I'm going to set the framework to begin the exegesis, the Wednesday, not next Wednesday, because we don't have church because of fall break, but the next Wednesday, okay? Isaiah, everybody go to Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. Are you ready? Say amen. Isaiah, one thing I notice is people are just so tired anymore. And I am praying that God gives everybody energy. Maybe we should pass out Red Bull on Wednesday nights before everybody gets in here. All righty, let's get into the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. In the last days. Now, what is the last days? Now, this is the Old Testament. At the birth of the Messiah. The resurrection of the Messiah. Until this very moment right now. That is the last days. And until Jesus raptures us away. The second coming. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established. So if there's one thing that's going to be established in the last days, and what we want to do is everybody talks about the rapture, but nobody talks about the environment that will precede the rapture. And that's what we're talking about. The Lord's house is going to be established. There's nothing more important in your life than honoring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy and coming to church. At the top of the mountains will be raised, and above the hills the nations shall stream to it. So this is a prophetic word in the Old Testament about the last days. Now everybody go to Isaiah 46. Go there quickly because we got a lot to cover tonight. Isaiah 46 and go to verse 10. In verse 10 it says, I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what is not yet done. Do you realize that the Bible specifically says about itself that it has the power to predict the future? It makes no bones about it. So if the Bible is a book of lies, if that's a book of malarkey, if that stuff's not true, we would known it. We would already know it because we would have caught it in 10,000 different ways. Just by archaeology would have known that it's not true. But the Bible says it predicts itself. Now go to Micah chapter 4, which is the end of the Old Testament. Go there, right at the end of the Old Testament. And Micah chapter 4, verse 1. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established. At the top of the mountains will be raised above the hills, and people will stream into it. Now, there is some things that are prophetic about Israel. And then there are these issues in the last days dealing with the establishment of God's house. We'll get into that in a minute. But there it is again in the Old Testament. That word, in the last days. Now everybody look. In the last days means after the resurrection and at the moment we're living right now. We're living in the last days. You believe we're living in the last days? Say amen. All right, go to Matthew. Let's go there last because that's what I'm going to focus on. Go to Mark chapter 13. These were supposed to have scriptures put on them. They're not on here. You're missing. Over here where it says Matthew 24, 1 through 51... There's supposed to be a scripture from Mark and supposed to be a scripture from Luke, and it's not on here. But that's okay. Matthew 24 is the same one. Go to Mark chapter 13. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to get familiar with your Bible right here. Mark 13. Take a look at it. Just look at the chapter, okay? Notice what it's speaking. It says the destruction of the temple. Verse 3, the signs of the end of the age. Verse 9, persecution. Verse 14, great tribulation. Verse 24, the coming of the Son of Man. The parable of the fig tree. 28, and no one knows the day nor the hour. Verse 23. So you see this discourse, and we're going to get into it deeply. You see this discourse about what happens in the last days. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Go there quickly. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It describes people's attitudes that will be living in the last days. But know this, difficult times, perilous times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. And listen, that right there is what the problem is in America. Listen, you have to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. When you love God, you obey His word, and if you show up and honor the Sabbath day. It's the day of worship. It's not the day of golf. Now, if you're on fall break, no condemnation. But if you choose whether you're coming to church or not based on whether it's raining or not, shame on you. Grow up. You're a baby, lukewarm Christian. Somebody say amen. And it says, rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of religion. In other words, if your grandma dies, you talk about Jesus for 3 days. But denying its dunamai, its power. Avoid these people. We're going to get into that. Now, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me show you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 34. There is no 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 34. Here it is, verse 1, 3 through 4. Start at verse 1. Dear friends, this is now the second letter I've written you. In both, I awaken your pure understanding with a reminder so that you can remember these words previously spoken by the holy prophets and the commandments of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. First, be aware, scoffers will come in the last days. What does that mean? That means people who are going to come and say there is no God, there is no Jesus, the Bible is a book written by man. They're going to make fun of you for being a Christian. They're going to make fun of you for praying in public. They're going to make fun of you for praying over grace. They're going to make fun of you and say, who are you praying to? Nobody can hear you. They're going to scoff at your walk with God in the last days, following their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, which means they died, all things continue as they've been since the beginning of creation. They willfully ignore this. Long ago, the heavens and the earth existed out of water, through water, and by the word of God. I think that's fascinating that Peter says that in the end days, he predicts the dilemma between creation and evolution without a creative designer. He predicts that the argument in the last days is going to be whether God flooded the earth or not. I find that absolutely amazing. You go and predict something and see what happens in 2,000 years. And be that detailed about the argument. And so he predicts that they're going to argue over the flood. Through these words of that time perish when it was flooded by water. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth were held in store for fire. In other words, God says, I'm going to destroy the earth again and recreate it. But it won't be with water this time. It's going to be with fire. Until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. I'm going to read a little longer because I want to point out something here. Dear friends, don't let this one thing escape you. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to have coming repentance. I want you to understand that the Bible says that people in the last days will mock and say Jesus isn't coming back. If he was going to come back, he would have already came back. How many of you hear that mockery? Well, Peter again predicts the subject matter in the last days. They're going to mock and say he's not coming back. I've heard that for all these hundreds of years and he still hadn't came back. And he says you need to be careful because I'm not slack concerning my promise. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will burn and dissolve, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. And I'm going to stop there, but I want to tell you something, and I'm not here to scare you. The Bible actually says when you talk about the last days, in the book of Thessalonians, Paul says, encourage one another with these words. Because Jesus is coming back. Mark it in your book. Whether you believe it or not is irrelevant. Jesus is coming back. He's going to get his church and he's going to come back and he's going to land on this earth and he's going to set every wrong right. If you believe that, say amen. But the Bible does not say anywhere, and I've been doing a lot of theological study on this. The Bible doesn't say anywhere where there cannot be a nuclear warhead released on American soil. And you got to be careful because what is very frightening is that America, which is a world superpower, is not mentioned as a superpower in the book of Revelation or in the book of Daniel. The only place that America is mentioned as it deals with the last days is in the book of Daniel when it refers to the lions and the young lions. Because that was from European, Europeans. And that is our heritage. England is the lion, we're the young lion. But you can't find the American strength in the book of Revelations. And when you look at Kim Jong-un in North Korea, and you look at what's going on, the Bible, and you look at, listen, how many of you can see that this world is sitting on a powder keg and all it's going to take is a spark to fly it into chaos? Let me see if you see your hands if you see that. I mean, you see it everywhere. You travel, you go cliff, you see it everywhere. You know, I was just shocked at what's going on around the world that we don't know nothing about in America. I mean, they show a little bit about Cantala in Madrid, Spain, and they show a little bit about Myanmar and the refugees, but they don't show the whole enchilada. This world is a powder keg. How many of you see America as a powder keg right now? You just take homosexuality and heterosexuality and people who believe that homosexuality is wrong. Just look at that one subject in American philosophy. You just look at between the Democrats and the Republicans, and I think both of them are crooked. Somebody say amen. You take both of them, and you look at how the Republicans say, if you hand me this Congress, you hand me the House, we can't do nothing, you got to give us the presidency, and they still ain't done nothing. Somebody say amen. And the Democrats, God help them. I'm on God's side. I'm purple. Somebody say amen. And so you have to be careful because it's just a powder keg. The Bible describes these environments. And it's only going, and you take a look at Houston. Who talks about Houston? But just 3 weeks ago, one of America's largest cities had bowed its knees to Mother Nature. And then look at Florida. And then look at the British Virgin Islands. And then look at Puerto Rico. And look at Mexico, Mexico, and the earthquakes. And look at all of these things. America, do not let your hubris get the best of you. Don't think, because let me tell you what I believe, and I'm going to be careful saying this, but I believe America, God is trying to get your attention. And I believe we're on the precipice if we're not in the judgment of God. He says, you want to have a nation without me? Then I'm going to show you what it looks like. And so in the last days, these things come to a boiling point. And all you have to do is look at the news to confirm the scriptures nowadays and to see where it's volatile, where it's just hanging on an edge, and this government and that government and this government is flying out of control. Now, with that being said, there is nothing in scripture that says that a nuclear weapon could not hit the Antarctica or Alaska, or that it could not hit New York, or that it could not hit somewhere in America. So what do you do? Number one, you encourage one another with these words and understand it's the beginning of birth pains. We're going to get to that later. It's the beginning of birth pains. And as a matter of fact, Paul says, Timothy, you tell people in those days, do not be afraid. Encourage one another with these words because your Savior and your Redeemer is about to come back and split the eastern sky, and he's going to make every wrong right. He's going to do away with sin and suffering and immorality, and he's going to set the world back in order the way the book of Genesis said it was all along. So what's going to happen? Mark it in your book. Now, go to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, let's go there real quick. 1 John chapter 2, I love John, I'm enamored by him. 2:18. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. In the last hours. Children, it is the last hour. Now, this is interesting because John is on in the Asia Minor there writing these things, and he says, it's the last hour. So John, 2,000 years ago, felt very firmly that this was the end of the times. He said, it is the last hour. It doesn't mean like the last 60 minutes. It doesn't mean, but yes, the early disciples, and you got to make sure you write this down. They really believed that Jesus was going to come back any moment. They would have never believed 2,000 years. Never believed it. But that's also the thing that fuels evangelism. And one of the things I want to lead our church in this year is evangelism. Because he's coming back and people need to be in the ark and people need to be ready for the coming of God. They need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it's not my job to win them. It's our job to win them. Amen. That's why we baptize people here. And so 1 John says, children, in the last hours, as you've heard, the Antichrist, capital A, notice the capital A, is coming. Even now many Antichrist, little A's. So stop. What it says is that in the last days, the world is going to be craving a global leader. I've struggled with this. Buddy, I have been attacked in a doctoral program over this belief system. And I had to defend myself, and I had to go back and rethink what I really believed about this. And I am firmly convinced that there is an Antichrist. I am firmly convinced that there's a rapture. I am firmly convinced that Jesus is coming back. But what John is saying, it says at the end of time, in the last days, he says, and we're in the last hour now. that there will be a need for a world supreme leader, capital A Antichrist. But he will not be Christian, he will be Antichrist. Now, whether you like Trump or not, it's Jesus that he's flirting around with, that people hated him in a lot of ways. And they hate anything dealing with God. They have a form of religion, that's fine. But the power of God that makes you live a holy and a righteous life where there's a right and a wrong, that's another thing. To say that Christianity is the only way to heaven, that's another thing. And so this environment will have a desire for a global leader. And this environment in the last days is going to have small antichrist. People making fun of God. People making fun of Christians. People making fun of Christ. Christianity being the problem. That is what people are blaming the problems of the world on. And it's no different than 2,000 years ago when the Romans blamed the Christians. Nero blamed the Christians for what Nero did in burning down Rome. Same thing. Different generation, all right? Now, watch this. He says, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained in us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get anything right, make sure you get right that he that endures until the end is saved. You got to make it through what you're going through. It doesn't mean you got to be perfect. It doesn't mean you don't fall, slip. Doesn't mean that you don't doubt. Doesn't mean you don't have lack of faith some days. It doesn't mean you don't have mountains that you've climbed and seasons of great faith. It means that you've got to stay in this thing until the end. Because he's coming back. Somebody say amen. And then it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you have all knowledge. Now, what I want you to do is go to Matthew 24 and 1. And this is going to be the center of our text along with doing an exegesis of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Go to Matthew 24, and I want you to go there. Get in your Bibles and go there, because we're going to read every bit of it tonight, and we're going to lay the framework scripturally for the last days. And if anything describes the environment, 2 Timothy describes the attitude. Matthew 24 describes the environment of the last days. Verse 1. As Jesus left and was going out of the temple complex, underline the word temple, because the whole subject matter here is related to the temple. When we go to Israel, which is either going to be this coming summer or right after that sometimes, I think I can get us a better deal if we go a little later. I'm working on it. But when we go to Israel, you need to go to Israel for no other reason than to see the temple. And then you will never read the Bible the same way again. Because the temple is center. The temple is center to the last days. It is center focus in the last days. Why? Because there's going to come a time where the capital A, the Antichrist, puts his feet inside the holy place, which is underneath the mosque right now. And the Bible refers to him as the son of desolation. And that is what's going to cause the Jewish people to realize that Jesus was the Messiah and that this joker who promised to save the world is a liar and a poser. And it's all centered around the last days with the temple. Now, as Jesus left and was going out of the temple complex, and you have to realize, underline the word temple complex and put the word huge. This is a huge place. The rocks, Stevie, I guarantee you one of those rocks, if you go look at that wall over there, just one of them from this temple right here, go all the way up, go over halfway up that wall back there, and that's the size of one stone. And then go about 50 up in the air. It's huge, Mike. His disciples came up and called his attention to the temple buildings. Then he replied, "Don't you see all these things?" Now look here. Boy, that's a beautiful passage. Temple, complex, temple, buildings. And then Jesus looks around and says, can't you see these things? And Jesus uses some very strict, bold Greek. I assure you, not one stone, and remember what I just told you about that stone, will be left here on another that will not be thrown down. Signs of the end of the age. While he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. Now watch this. Look here. Jesus is over here. The temple is over here. And it's about as far from here, maybe, to the backside of Sherway. The Mount of Olives looks down on the Eastern Gate. That's why Vestal used to talk about going in the Eastern Gate. Sing about it. And so Jesus is on the Mount of Olives. He's looking at the temple. There's a perfect view from the Mount of Olives straight to the Eastern Gate. And it's not very far. And so he now begins to say from the Mount of Olives these things. He says, while he was sitting. Now, underline the word sitting. I need to show you this, teach you something. Do you realize, and I do this sometimes, but do you realize that in the Bible days, that the person who was hearing the word of God stood in the first 300 years of Christianity, at least the first 200 years of Christianity, but the person speaking the word of God always sat. That's why they call it the seat of Moses. That is why the Catholic Church, which was part of our heritage, called it the chair of St. Peter. You would sit when you were the preacher and teach the word of God. So anytime you see the posture of Jesus sitting, you know it's a posture of teaching. Okay? Now, everybody learn anything? Say amen. Now, while he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached him privately and said, "Tell us when all these things will happen, and what is the sign of your coming?" Now, notice it's singular. What is the sign of your coming, capital Y, and of the end of the age, the last days? Then Jesus replied, and we're going to read all this because I want to get all these scriptures read, and then we're going to dissect it this fall. Then Jesus replied, "Watch out." Now, everybody, listen, that's a good place to start. Write it down. First thing he says is you better watch out. Now, what are we supposed to watch out? When somebody says watch out, it doesn't mean you're going to win the lottery. Watch out means something, you're in danger. Watch out means something could go wrong. Watch out says you better stay sober. Watch out means there's a thief in the house. He says, you better watch out. Now, watch out for what? Watch out that no one deceives you. Now, I want you to understand when it says that no one deceives you, he's now entering into an issue of doctrine. Let me tell you something. What you believe matters. What you study matters. What you read in the Bible matters. The fact that you don't come to Bible studies or you do come to Bible studies matters. The fact that you don't bring your Bible on Sunday or you do bring your Bible on a Sunday matters. The fact that you take notes on Sunday or you don't take notes on Sunday, it matters. How does it matter? It's the difference between you going to heaven and hell. It matters. And why does it matter? Because Jesus said in the last days, how many of you believe we're living in the last days? Lift your hands. He says, you got to be careful because in the last days, they're going to try to trick you. They're going to try to trick you and say, this is Jesus. Live any way you want. Grace will cover it. This is Jesus. There's more than one way to heaven, and he's one of them. See, you're looking for people to show up with sandals with a bunch of sheep going, that's Jesus. No, that's not Jesus. No, there'll be different kinds of Messiah. They'll say, look, there's the Messiah. Look, there's the Messiah. Look, you can go to heaven and not have to do anything as far as living a clean life. And look, you can go to heaven and you can go to heaven right along with the Buddhists and everybody else. And look, 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 all kinds of ways to heaven. And he says, you better watch out because in the last days, he says, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name. They're not coming and saying Buddhist. They're not coming and saying Islam, Muhammad. Boy, I learned a lot about Islam this week. They're not. Do you realize that in Islam, there's a word that means in Islamic nature and in the Quran and that Muhammad quoted that actually means deceiver and that it is okay for every Muslim to lie in the name of Allah? For many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah. You know what that means? That means people say, you can get to heaven this way. And you can get to heaven that way. And you can get to heaven that way. And you can get to heaven this way. And all of them got Jesus on them. Well, how do you know which one's Jesus and which one isn't Jesus? That's why you got to know this word. I mean, you know everybody on the Kentucky basketball team, but you can't find your way from Matthew to Mark. You got to know this word. And you want to know why? How many of you want to go to heaven? Well, you got to know the word because if any generation stands the ability to be deceived in the last hour, it's you. It's you. He didn't say in the medieval ages, watch out, you could be deceived. He didn't say in the first 1,000 years of Christianity, watch out, you may be deceived. He didn't say in the first 300 years of Christianity, Endura, that you may be deceived. No, he said in the last days, you may be deceived. You may be deceived because people are going to say, this is the way to God. This is the way to Jesus. This is the way to Jesus. This is the way to Jesus. You're going to hear a lot of Jesus, but what you got to realize is there's a difference between Jesus that is a religion and Jesus that's full of power and full of glory and that you love him and that you can't wait to see him again. There's a difference between that Jesus. Do you realize that Muslims don't want to go to heaven to see Allah? I never knew that. They could care less about seeing Allah. They want to go to heaven to have sex. There's the difference between Christianity. The Christianity, we want to go to heaven to see Jesus, to see someone we love, to see someone we have a personal relationship with, to see our friends and our families who had a personal relationship with Jesus. Heaven is about a personal relationship, not a religion. Not about religion. This is getting me stirred up. And he says, and they will deceive many. Now look here. He says, they're going to deceive you and they're going to actually succeed. And in one verse I'm going to show you this fall, it says, and even the very elect, which means the very stout, devout Christian, may be deceived. May be deceived. And they're going to succeed. And the only way you can make it and endure until the end is to learn your Bible and to know what the Word says. I'm so sick of denominations, I'm fed up with them. Anybody give me an amen, say amen. I am. I'm sick of them. They're corrupt. Well, don't get me going. I got to stay focused. You're going to hear in those days of wars and rumors of wars. And here he says again, Matthew says it and Paul says the same thing. Hey, honey, don't let that bother you. Because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. They're actually called birth pains. We're going to get into it. For nation will rise against nation. South Korea against North Korea. Japan against Russia. Russia against America. Kingdom against kingdom. Oceanic against Africa. And there will be famines, and there will be earthquakes in various places. And all these events, and there's another scripture we'll get into, it talks about pestilence. All of these events are the beginning of birth pains. Now stop right here. It says that the environment will be earthquakes, famines, and another place it speaks of pestilence, which is the, you know, the virus here and the bird flu virus and this virus and all these things. And now they're coming out saying mosquitoes are much more dangerous than we ever thought they could be. That's the environment. And he says, then they will hand you over for persecution. Now I want you to do something with me, okay? I want you to write in your margin of your Bible. And if you got a Bible you can't write in, go put that one in a museum and get you one you can. Write the word Mark chapter 13, okay? Because Mark says something that Matthew doesn't say here. This story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Mark says specifically they will hand you over to the Sanhedrin. Now, I was just around Christians all week long that have fled in the middle of the night and who have families that have been raped, girls that have been molested by the army and the police in the name of Christ. I was around friends this week that cannot live in their homes in peace because there is a new law in Iran that says if there are 4 people together in one home at one time, and I find a Bible, you all are going to prison. Because the president of Iran just said, America is not our greatest enemy, the house church is. So now they're trying to crack down on the body of Christ in Iran, and the way they're doing is they'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're going to jail. Because they are scared that it's a house church because there's a Bible there. Now, how many of them do you have that you're not reading? I got quiet in here. Richard, it's just you and me. How many of these things do you have that you're not reading? And your brothers and sisters across the ocean are going to jail for having one? You better hear the word of the Lord tonight. Because this summer, this fall is a prophetic fall. You better get in the word. You better get in the word. You'll be like my friend from Saudi Arabia, Wally, who was on CNN News when he was released in, I think, the 80s, late 80s. And the only Bible he had was the one he put up his butt crack. After they beat him profusely, broke his arm and his hip, and threw him in jail. And this is Wally's words. These are Wally's words. He said, an angel walked in and put my joint back together. You know, a friend told me this week, he was talking about conversions and the price they pay for conversion is the only thing you might pay is embarrassment right now, walking down an aisle. They lose families and jobs immediately. He said, my friend got saved the other day. I said, he did. I said, how? And every time I ask a Muslim friend, a former Muslim friend that's now a Christian from a Muslim country, that question, they look at the floor. And I know exactly what they're thinking. They're thinking, I don't want to tell this Westerner the truth because he won't believe me. And you research it. Because you can't joke about conversion in the Middle East and live to tell about it. There is no, well, I got saved last Friday. Oh, you're dying. You're going to die. And that's not an embellishment. He said, my friend got saved. I said, they did. He said, yeah. He said, I said, where was he? Mikey looked at me. He said, Mecca? Mecca? He said, yeah. Chuck, what's the name of the box? Anybody know? Cliff, you know the name of the box at Mecca they go around? Black, it's got the rock in it. Anybody know? Anyway, everybody know what I'm talking about. You've seen on TV where millions come for pilgrimages and they walk around the box. Something to do with Muhammad. It's a black stone in there. He said he was walking around doing his pilgrimage. And he said Jesus Christ appeared to him, began to walk with him. And he said, you are called to go preach the gospel. And he repented and gave his life to Jesus. I'm not about to question that. And I'm not going to let my rational, Western, spoiled, rotten, big fat baby, over-luxurized, pacified Christian Americanism in my life cause me to doubt the supernatural power of God. Sorry for the adjectives. I got 2 minutes. Let's go. See that you're not alarmed. They will hand you over and persecute you. Now make sure you read Matthew 13 to balance this out a little bit. And they will kill you and you will be hated by all nations. You'll be hated by all nations. I thought, I never noticed that till I studied for this for you today. You'll be hated by all nations. The word nations is ethos. It gets where we get a word ethnicity from. And this is going to be radical, but you watch what I'm telling you. All this propaganda about the white man being evil because he's white is rooted in the fact that they spread Christianity throughout the earth. The white man may be today, But it's Jesus they're coming after next. And they're going to hate you whether you're black, white, red, Puerto Rican, yellow, purple, or even shades of green. Simply because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you can't make it through what you're going through when you think it's the hardest thing in your life, how are you going to live in these days if the Lord tarries? And then many will take offense. Now, I think this is a frightening scripture. To me, this is one of the most frightening scriptures in the Bible. It literally says that things are going to come unwired so bad that Christians are going to be offended because God didn't protect them. And they're going to get offended. And you know why? You listen to me. You want to know what's going to cause the majority of Americans to get offended when persecution shows up? And it's already here. But when it really shows up, they've watched too much junk on Christian television that says all I have to do is snap my heels and get what I need from God. He's my Santa Claus. And they're going to get offended. Remember what I taught you about offense? If you don't remember any message I preached all year long, don't you forget about the message I preached about blessed is a man that is not offended in me, because that is the death trap to where you are annihilated in your faith. And what annihilates a person in their faith? Getting offended at God or one another. So one of the things you got to put up here is you watch out, and you got to watch out for being offended. Being offended at God, or being offended at each other, or being offended at your church, or being offended. Listen, the devil, the first group is going to go during the last days are going to be these church hoppers that have no roots. They're going to go down like an oak tree. They have no doctrine in them. They have no seed in them, no roots. Listen, let's take the worst case scenario. And listen, I know this is radical, but this is where we're at. Let's say that it does get to where Christianity is persecuted. We never thought we'd see that in America, but I never thought I'd see the things I'm seeing right now. Would you? So let's say that we have to lean on each other a little bit. Would you want to be somewhere where people know you and got bread and milk and food and guns? I always said if Al-Qaeda comes here, I'm going to Dennis Clapp's house. And I know Dennis will let me in. But where do you want to be? The question is, where are you going to be? Are you stable enough in one local church and got roots to have the relationships? The local church matters. It matters deeply. And so he says they're going to get offended at one another, and they're going to betray one another, and they're going to hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because lawlessness will multiply. How many of you have ever seen, and I got to stop. How many of you have ever, I'm not old. I just turned 50. And I'm depressed now. I just never thought I'd see a couple of things. When I gave my life to Christ, young, Cliff, Andrea, I just never thought I'd see a couple of things, Todd. Never thought I'd see an apostate church. People in the name of Jesus living absolutely horrendous doctrines. Saying there's more woman in there. I never thought I'd hear a Pentecostal say that this certain sin's okay. I never thought I'd hear a charismatic or Pentecostal say there's more than one way to heaven. I'm hearing it. And I never thought I'd see the false prophets. The people who in the name of God say, come go this way. And sheep led like a slaughter, go to hear the word of God in places where they do not even know what they're talking about. Never thought I'd see that. So what do? You sleep like a baby. That's right, Susan. Amen. You sleep like a baby. Because I firmly believe, Todd, that if there is a land of Goshen, and there was for the children of Israel coming out of Egypt when Egypt was being judged. Whitney, there will be a land of Goshen for us. But here's the problem, Richard. What you're doing now, being stable in one local church, faithfully honoring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, and paying your tithes, because don't think the rules go off because the world gets off. You honor God now, He'll honor you then. But you got to give Him something to honor. God doesn't give fruit to people who won't produce it. So what you do now in honoring the Sabbath and winning the lost and baptizing people, and while it is still light outside, and the Bible says, and we'll get into more because we got all this is for all fall, and we're going to get deep into it. You're going to love it. But it says, be careful. You just go home and sleep like a baby. Because if this is true, I got this. And I will protect my own. But he doesn't say, I will protect those that say they're mine. I will protect those that look like they're mine. I will protect those that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, which is a personal walk. In other words, it's time to get off the fence and get as close to God as you've ever been because you love Him, and not to worry about anything. Because if He sent His only Son, and He created the land of Goshen to protect the children of Israel coming out of the country of Egypt, you're never going to believe, convince me that He's not going to protect us during that time. The question is, are you really part of us? Do you really know Him? Do you really love Him? Playing games is over. And He's about to come back, and He's going to sum this thing up. So how many of you got anything out of this tonight?
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.